Now, if you remember last year when we did our all-age services, we were working our way through the Lord's Prayer. Now, this year, we thought we'd work through another bit of important work in the church. And in our all-age services, we're going to be looking at the Apostles' Creed. But before we start thinking about the words of the Apostles' Creed, that's a very good question to ask. What is a creed? Well, maybe this will help us as we get started. Now, can anyone tell me what have I got here? Juice. Exactly, I've got some orange squash. Now, orange squash in the bottle is super sweet, super strong, and super orangey. So, you know, to make it, they use some chemicals as well, but they boil down lots of orange juice. So you're just left with really strong orangey flavour. Now, I've got a tiny little bit of it here in the bottle. Does someone want to come and just dip their finger in and see how strong orange juice from the bottle straight is? Yeah, go on, Alex. You come on. It's super, super strong, super, super sweet. So just dip your finger in and have a look at it, because otherwise you might go a little bit overexcited for the sugar. That very orangey, very sweet, very strong. If I did that, I think I'd pull a face. Now, obviously, to make orange squash drinkable, we add water. But the thing is, you see, the creed is a little bit like super strong, super sweet orange squash. Because a creed is a summary of what Christians believe. It's like we're trying to squeeze down some of the key truths in the Bible into just a couple of sentences. Okay? And that's what the creed is all about. That's what the Apostles' Creed that we're going to be looking at over this whole year of all-age services, of one year every half term, and then six in the summer. We're going to try and understand what this is all about. And you see, the Apostles' Creed is all about God. It shows us the one God in three persons, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And I hope and pray that as we look at it over this year, it's going to really help us understand, if we call ourselves a Christian, what it is we actually believe in. So we're going to have a read of the creed now. That's quite fun to say. Read of the creed now. We'll say the words all together. And then we're going to have a look at just the start today. So let's read this all together. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day, he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He's seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. If there were some words in there as we were reading, there were some words we didn't see what happens with that. If there were some words there that we didn't quite understand, didn't quite grasp, don't worry. Come along to these services and we'll unpick that over the course of this year to help us understand a bit more. We're going to start by thinking of that first sentence. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. We're going to look at those three key words, Father, Almighty, creator, in just a minute or two. But before we do that, just to help us, we're going to see where God, the Father Almighty, tells us what he's like. In his word, the Bible. And I think the Duncan family are going to come and read for us Psalm 19. So do, if you've got Bibles, do turn up Psalm 19. And if you come and stand at this microphone there, you should be able to pick that up. So we'll look at Psalm 19.
The skies proclaim the work of his hands. Day after day they pour forth speech, night after night they reveal knowledge. They have no speech, they use no words, no sound is heard from them. Yet their voice goes out into all the earth. Their words to the ends of the world. In the heavens, God has pitched their tent for the sun. It is like a quiet queen coming out of the stream of earth. Like a champion rejoicing to have his course. Why does it look one under the heavens and makes it subject to the other? Nothing is fire but its warmth. The law of the Lord is perfect, refreshing the soul. The statutes of the Lord are trustworthy, making wise the simple. The precepts of the Lord are right, giving joy to the heart. The commandments of the Lord are radiant, giving light to the eyes. The fear of the Lord is pure, enduring forever. The decrees of the Lord are firm, and the word of the Lord are righteous.
They are more precious than gold, than much pure gold. They are sweeter than honey, than honey from the honeycomb. By them your servant is warned, and keeping them there is great reward. But who can discern their own errors? Forgive my hidden thoughts. Keep your servant also from willful sins. May they not rule over me. Then I will be blameless, innocent of great transgression. May these words of my mouth and this meditation of my heart be pleasing in your sight. Lord, my rock and my redeemer. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Brilliant. Thank you, Jesse, Abby and Peter. And do keep those Bibles open in front of you so you can check that what I'm saying is not just me making it up, but it's there in God's word. Okay, so as we start, I thought I'd introduce you to a passion of mine. I really enjoy playing badminton. And does anyone else play a bit of badminton? All right, so a few of you there. Now, when I first started playing badminton, it was because my dad taught me how to play. You know, he showed me how to hold the racket properly, how to play the shots, not to smack anything, how to play the shots, what the rules of the game were. Still can't quite beat him, but he taught me how to play, and I'm really glad. I love my dad lots and lots, and I'm so glad that he taught me how to play the sport. Now, can any of you think of anything else that your dads have taught you how to do, or your dads are teaching you what to do now? Any thoughts? Yeah. Don't worry, I'll come back to you, Seth. Have a think. Anyone else? Yeah. Out of what, sorry? Oh, important skills to learn. Yeah. Anything else? Well, anyone else think of anything? Yeah. How to take a football penalty. Important skill. Definitely, if you're English, you need lots of help on taking penalties. Anyone else? Yeah. Brilliant, yep, measurements, all sorts of good things. Was that an answer to yours? Matt started you early there. Okay, all sorts of things that our dads can teach us to learn. I think that's part of the job of being a dad, is to teach your children all sorts of things. And if you remember, the first words in the creed tell us that God is Father. Now, Father is just another name for Dad. And you see, first and foremost, God in heaven is Jesus's dad. He has been Jesus's dad forever and ever, and ever and ever and ever and ever, and ever and ever and ever. But even before the whole world was made, God has been a dad. But things, you see, if we're trusting in Jesus, then God becomes our dad too. And he is the best dad ever. And like our dads, who teach us how to take penalties, do the measurements, help us learn how to ride a bike, teach us how to play badminton. This dad is a dad who loves to teach us his children. And he teaches us how to live the best way, how to live life his way. Now, if you can read, you've still got your Bibles open. It's on page 552 if you shut them. I need to have a little look down at verses 7 to 9. Little numbers 7 to 9. And you see, six times in slightly different words, King David, who wrote this psalm, is talking about how God's words in the Bible teach us. Now, he calls it the law of the Lord, or the statutes of the Lord. And for David, that was just the first half of the Bible, our Old Testament. But now we have a full Bible's worth of God's teaching to us. And what we need to do, look at 7 to 9 and see if you can spot some of the describing words, some of the adjectives that David uses to describe this teaching. Okay, have a look. And when you find one of those describing words, stick your hand up and I'll write it down on our board for us. Trustworthy. Yeah, anyone else? Oh, yes, Monty. Refreshing. That is an S, honestly. Yeah, Joshua. Perfect. Yeah. Radiant. Yeah, any more? Yeah. Josh. Righteous. Should have given myself a bit more space. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Yes, any more? Alex. Pure. And any more? Any more? Eva. Don't worry, we'll come back to you. Elliot. Enjoying. Yeah, that's in there. Yeah. Any other words that we can describe it with? Yes, Nathan. Oh, don't worry. Monty. Enduring. Or firm. Because that's shorter and I can fit it on that bit of the board. Firm. There are all sorts of wonderful ways that King David describes God's words, God's teaching to us in the Bible. And if you look at the little description at the end of each sentence of what God's teaching does to us, you'll see even more how great it is. It refreshes the soul. It makes wise the simple. It gives joy to the heart. It gives light to the eyes. It endures forever. All of them are righteous. Okay, this sort of teaching isn't the sort of dull, boring teaching that should just put us to sleep. No, this teaching is wonderful. You see, God, our dad, has given us words in the Bible to teach us how to live well in his world. And King David thought this was absolutely brilliant. Look at verse 10, number 10. And he says, this teaching from the Bible is more precious than gold, than much pure gold. These words are sweeter than honey from the honeycomb. So I need to think, the biggest pile of money you can possibly imagine is there. King David thinks, no, what God's teaching us in the Bible is more important than all that massive pile of money. Or think about the tastiest thing you've ever eaten. Think how wonderful that taste was, how sweet and delicious. King David goes, no. The teaching in the Bible is even better than that taste. Okay. And we have something that amazing open on our knees in front of us now. Isn't that great? So, God, our Father, our Dad, is a God who loves to teach us. And he wants us to live life the best way. He designed the world, and so he teaches us in the world, in his word, the way to live well in that. Now, but you see, if when Dad was teaching me how to play badminton, I just went, I'm not going to listen. That wouldn't really work, would it? I wouldn't be able to play badminton now if when he was teaching me, I did that. But the thing is, it's so easy for us to go, when we just shut our Bibles, don't bother reading them. Or we, even if we do listen to them, if we don't actually do what he tells us to do. It's not much good going, la. Can't hear anything. We can't learn if that's what we're doing. So God has chosen to speak to us in his word, the Bible. And he's chosen that that's the way to show us how to live. So let's not be like sloppy children who think we know better than our dads about how to live. Let's be those who listen and put into practice what God teaches us in his word, the Bible. So God is a father, a dad, who loves to teach us. He wants to teach us how to live well. But the thing is, he is a unique dad. He is the Father Almighty. The Father Almighty. Now, I wonder, if you could have any superpower in the world, what superpower would you have? Have a think. I think if I had a superpower, I'd want to be able to teleport or to fly. So I think being able to get somewhere quickly would be really, really useful. What about you guys? Amelia, what superpower do you have? To be invisible so you could sneak away from your brothers. Good plan. Seth? Oh, I didn't quite hear that one. Come on, Eva. The ability to make it snow. That'd be quite fun. Yeah, what are the superpowers did you have? Elliot? Be really strong. Yeah, that'd be a helpful superpower. Alex? Sorry, say that again. To build, the ability to build anything. Yeah, Nathan? To be able to shoot fire from your mouth. Not maybe not as helpful as some of the others, but would certainly be impressive. Now, those would be amazing superpowers to have. And it'd be great if we could just have any one of those superpowers. But the thing about God, the Father Almighty, he doesn't need superpowers because he already has all the power, not just one or two superpowers. He is almighty. And in this psalm that David wrote, we see something of his power and his ability to see into all of our lives. It's like he has some kind of special X-ray goggles that can see into our lives. Let's have a read of verses 12 and 13 again. So look back down, verses 12 and 13, look at number 12 and 13, and see if we can spot this amazing power that God has. So verse 12. But who can discern their own errors? Forgive my hidden faults. Keep your servant also from willful sins. May they not rule over me, then I'll be blameless, innocent of great transgression. Now, did you spot that? King David knows that God knows all of his hidden faults. You know, all those wrong things he thinks but doesn't say. All of those feelings that he knows are cruel and unkind, but he just keeps bottled up inside of him. All the way he loves money or success more than he loves God. All those things he does in secret that he hopes no one will ever find out. Now the thing is, whether we're old or young, we all have things like that too. We have those sins that only we know about, that we can keep hidden from everyone else. But we can't keep them hidden from God. God is Father Almighty. He is all-powerful. And remember, he's got those X-ray specs that can see into those parts of our lives that we can keep hidden from everyone else. But God's so powerful. His almightiness means that he can actually do something about that problem. Have a look at verse 12 again. And what does God ask him to do? Sorry, what does David ask God to do in verse 12? Someone spot. Come on, T. Forgive him. Exactly. David asks God to forgive him. God is powerful enough to see all the mess and darkness in our lives, but he's also powerful enough to do something about the problem if we ask him to. You see, God is not like the Incredible Hulk. Now, the Incredible Hulk is very, very, very strong. But he's only useful if the problem involves being able to smash things up. That's about his only use as a superhero. He's only good when destroying things is the answer. But God, the Father Almighty, is not like the Hulk. Because his almightiness means that he has the power to forgive and to fix the problem. And lastly, his almightiness stretches over all of our lives. There are the hidden faults that we keep hidden from everyone else, but also the really big things that everyone knows about and everyone can see. But we could be like King David and ask God to forgive them. You see, because God is almighty, Monday to Saturday, as well as Sunday afternoons. So how we behave at school, how we treat our colleagues at work, how we approach our exams, all of those things matter to God. You know, he's almighty over our money and our stuff. So how we use our stuff matters to him. Are we selfish or are we generous? You see, God is almighty over everything and over all of our lives. And so we should be quick to turn to him and ask him to help us live our lives more in line with how he's taught us to live. Okay, so God's the Father Almighty who teaches us. God's the Father who teaches us. He's the Almighty who knows and cares. And lastly, David tells us he's the creator of heaven and earth. Now, have you ever looked up at the sky on a starry night, a clear starry night, and just gone, wow? There should be a picture of a starry night. It might come up or not. Have you ever done that? Just looked up and just gone, wow. Or maybe on a beautiful blue sky with a cloud shooting by, and you just go, isn't that amazing? Yeah, it seems like King David has been doing that. He's been looking up at the sky. Let's read verse 1, the very start of the psalm. David looked up at the sky and has just gone, wow, the heavens declare the glory of God. The skies proclaim the work of his hands. He's just looked up and gone, wow. And then he thinks, who was it that made the skies and the clouds and the stars and everything? It was God. And the thing is, this whole psalm shows us that nature is like a great big arrow pointing us to God and making us go, wow. God is a God of wow. And everything that he's made is evidence of that. So this psalm is a song, a poem that David's written. And in it, he talks about how the sky and the sun and the trees and the mountains and everything that God's made, they don't have mouths, but it's like they're singing about how great it is. Can you imagine a sunshine trying to sing? Seems a bit strange, doesn't it? They don't have mouths. It's quite funny trying to think about how that would work. But he's just using picture language to show us how all of nature is pointing to its amazing creator. Nature, the world is amazing because God is amazing. God made everything in the whole wide world. Wow. God's made everything in the world good. Wow. God's made things so beautiful. Wow. See, God didn't have to make anything, but he chose to. He didn't have to make things good, but he chose to. He didn't have to make things beautiful, but he did. Because that's what the God of the Bible is like. He's a God of wow. The brilliance of creation, not to mention everything else that he's done, is a reason to give him thanks and praise. You know what? We can and we should say thank you to God for making such a wonderful world, for making us go, wow, for being in charge of it all, for keeping it all just right, so that we can enjoy all those good things. Just for a minute now, have a think of some of the things that make you go, wow, that you love in this world. And then maybe in your families, or turn around to a couple of people in front or behind you, and just have a minute of just saying little thank you prayers to God. Just say thank you to God for the sun, the stars, the moon, anything, whatever it is that comes to mind. Just have 30 seconds, a minute, in little groups, in your families, just saying thank you to God for all the wonderful things he's made. Go. Let me draw those prayers to a close. Amen to all of those. So just as we finish, so we've seen what God is like. He's the dad who teaches us. He's the almighty one who knows and cares. And he's the creator of heaven and earth that makes us go, wow. So this paints a pretty impressive big picture of the God of the Bible. So if you're kind of new to Christian things, then this is the God that Christians are on about. This is the God that Christians serve and worship. A God who is all of these things and so much more. And the thing is, if we're trusting in Jesus, this amazing, huge God needs to stay with us all day, every day. See, if we forget that God is this amazing, this massive, then we think that we're the ones in charge, that we can control and understand him. And then he becomes not very special or very important at all. You see, we need to let God be God in all of his massive greatness in every part of our lives. He's worth worshipping because of all of these things. So as we think about God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth, would we be like King David at the very end of the psalm in verse 14? And would everything we say and everything we think and do be pleasing for this unique, amazing, special God?